Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. We are ESPN Radio, and admittedly, we are playing CBS Sports' college basketball right now, but it's a pretty...
Classic.
It's very classic, setting the scene for a lot of college hoops talk, which we're going to have today. Initially, I wanted to dive into Illinois and Kansas. We haven't talked a ton about that this week. Of course, over the next 2 days between today and then tomorrow, I know Brad Underwood will meet with the media tomorrow, working on some other guests potentially that we're trying to line up. Hopefully one or a couple of those come through. It'd be really exciting. And then speaking of guests, later today we're going to have Eli Hershkovich, friend of the show from the Lines. He just recently put out his top 25 power rankings for college basketball. So I think on a national scale, I want to ask him, number one, what he thinks of Kansas, what he thinks of some of Illinois' other ranked opponents like Marquette, like Tennessee, Florida Atlantic. So we'll do that, and then maybe just some teams that he likes in general going into this season. But first and foremost, Kyle, how you doing? It's yourself and I and Lon on load management.
Yeah, Lon, when's the last time Lon worked a five-day week here? It's been a while.
We have to pull the records.
It's like Pat Hughes with the Cubs where he takes the fifth inning off every game now.
That's right.
Because a couple years ago he decided he wanted to – couldn't go full nine innings all year long anymore. Lon's got to take a day off a week now.
Yeah, he's got 14 years or whatever it is on the tires, so I get it. And we're kind of just poking fun at our guy, but yeah, it's Kyle and I again. And I know he actually caught some flack. You didn't get to hear that, but some of the crowd were giving him a little bit of flack out at Pia's for being a guest co-host to yourself and me. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, Lon, he keeps saying how he's like, well, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. But I mean,
we'll keep welcoming him back as long as he wants to be here. So, but I always enjoy our shows, Kyle, and college hoops,
especially college basketball season.
Yeah, definitely. It's right here.
We're
right on the cusp. NBA started this week. I'll dabble. I've watched a little bit of NBA here and there. I saw the Bulls get thumped last night.
Watched the Bulls last night. I'm like, let's go. NBA season starting. Listen, I'm not the NBA falls like fourth or fifth on my interest list, but I still am a huge Bulls fan. New season. Let's see what we got here. 20-point loss. The same exact stuff from last year. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I was vocal this offseason about how I was not pleased with the plan to just run it back with the same mediocre team again. And it looks like it's going to be the same mediocre team again after last night. So
who could have seen that? And then you hear reports or you see them on Twitter that the team had some friction in the locker room after game one.
Yeah. And I saw the tweet. It's like, well, Billy Donovan walked into the locker room and the players were having a heated conversation. He had to leave the room.
Yeah, he's
having a players-only meeting after game one.
Yeah, apparently.
Welcome to the season.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
That's quite the omen for what's to come.
They should have pivoted this offseason.
I'm asking for something. Do something
different.
That's not the same thing. Adding to low cost. I mean, Javon Carter and Torrey Craig were their additions, which I actually liked them in terms of fitting in on this roster, but those are two very low level. It's not making any changes. That's making zero changes to this roster that was a 40-win team last year.
And for Io's sake, I'm glad he got paid, and I like the fact that I can flip on a Bulls game and hope to see him in action. That's only the problem, though, because last night he played, 6 minutes?
I think he then got in garbage time
and
scored a bunch. But, yeah, I think he had eight points in 9 minutes.
In the bulk of the game, he played like 6 minutes for the most part.
Yep.
So I just – it's hard to see him playing that big of a role as it stands right now because Coby White is the starting point guard. You, of course, still have Alex Caruso. You mentioned you bring in Javon Carter, and there's guys ahead of him. And yet they gave him no small chunk of change. You know,
no.
What was it ultimately that he landed on? Was it?
I want to say it was 3 years, 21 mil.
Yeah.
$7 million
a year. I just feel like for the role that he's going to have, and look, it's game one. I think he played a decent amount in the preseason, as you'd expect. But even then, it looked like he was maybe going to have a little bit of a bigger role. Still early as far as that goes. And obviously anybody around here that's an Illini fan is going to trust the work that I was going to put in and his ability to show what he's got, because he shot the three better in preseason and was showing some encouraging signs and maybe some progression in his game. But if this doesn't grow for him, then you almost wish that he would have ended up elsewhere in a different role, a different team. Sure. And maybe that happens as far as the trade deadline or down the road here, because it's a crowded backcourt. Maybe it means they're going to end up trading LaVine at the deadline. And maybe they get off of – is this DeMar DeRozan's last year of his contract?
Yeah, it is.
Trade his expiring deal. Maybe they strip this thing down at the deadline.
If they're the 10 seed in the East again come the trade deadline, you have to trade one of them, DeMar or Zach. You'd have to. Now, obviously, DeMar would be an expiring, and you're not going to get a whole lot of value for him. Zach would be like, all right, we want to tear this thing down. Zach actually has some value out there being on a longer-term contract. Something's got to give if you're 30 and 34 at the trade deadline, or I guess it wouldn't be that many games played yet, but you get the point.
Zach to the Lakers for...
Oh, God.
I don't know what they would give.
How would they be able to afford that
probably,
team?
They probably couldn't. I don't know. They're a team that they've wanted to be in the mix for another piece, but, of course, there's probably going to be some others out there that would be interested in adding someone like that. And they've played one game. It's easy to be negative about the Bulls, admittedly. But
we saw 82 of them last year.
Yeah, so we kind of know what they are. The Victor Wembanyama debut was on ESPN last night. I caught a little bit of that. He made some plays, made some threes early.
Didn't get the ball a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would have just fed the generational number one pick all night and let him go to work.
True.
They did win. Or no, they didn't. They were up early.
Yeah they were up early. They scored 43 in the first quarter. Yeah. Luka Doncic ultimately too much.
That's the only part of the game I watched, so I assume that they held on. But no, I forgot. I saw Luka. So, Luka did make some plays.
I checked the box score this morning. But I don't know if it's on an unrelated note, because it is basketball being back, and that is exciting. But let's talk some more about this Illinois and Kansas matchup. We've discussed along the way, as soon as this was announced in August, just how exciting it is, the dynamic of Bill Self coming back to town. I wrote a story today about that, because I was able to pull some of Self's quotes from Big 12 Media Day. I thought he was honest in one of his lines and saying that, you know, it's a place that I've avoided coming back to for a long time. Now, he was here. It was 2014, Wayne McLean's funeral, and then also 2022, he was here for the Coaches versus Cancer event that Brad put on at Gordyville. But him coming back, of course, is a huge storyline. Hunter Dickinson getting that matchup one more time. But how about just in terms of on the court, Kyle, what we know about Kansas and what we saw from Illinois both this past Friday and then just kind of just general expectations for this Illinois squad. What do you think this matchup can show us? What would you want to see? Let's kind of dive into some of that as we begin our previewing of that game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really excited to see what this group looks like. I mean, there's no better test out there in the country than the number one team preseason coming into your building. And so I'm just really excited. And no matter how it goes, I mean, Illinois could get absolutely killed in that game on Sunday. Illinois could surprise and beat Kansas. Now, I know, again, the result in any exhibition game should be taken with a grain of salt, but I'm just excited to see what this group looks like against the best of the best, because it's a game that doesn't count, so you can struggle through it. You can have your issues pop up. You can get exposed in certain ways, but you have the time to fix it. You have the time to improve it. At the same time, I think guys showing up and playing really, really well, and this looking like a really fluid, connected team like we saw against Ottawa, against Kansas, a Bill Self-coached Kansas team on Sunday, will tell us a lot that this is a team that can be really, really good. And so I'm just excited to see how that plays out. And matchup-wise, I mean, I think it starts with your point guard situation, because you're facing one of the top point guards in the country, in DeJuan Harris, at least in my opinion. He was really, really good last year, really good defensive player. Excited to see how that plays out for a guy like Ty Rodgers, who's going to have a big height advantage on him. Mm-hmm. But is also, I mean, that Kansas is going to try to, you know, they're going to leave him at the 3-point line. They're going to defend him a lot differently than a team like Ottawa did, and they're going to make him try to overcome some of his shortcomings in that game. And I expect that we'll see him with the ball in his hands a little bit more than against Ottawa, and some of the new pieces. Can Damask look as comfortable going up against really athletic, physical wings like a Kevin McCullough or whoever else it may be? I mean, Terrence Shannon might be the matchup too.
Yeah.
Kevin McCullough on Terrence Shannon could be a fun one. So, and then Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson.
Dickinson, who came to State Farm Center last year. He did lose. He has not beaten the Illini in his career, but he finished. Now, albeit it was double overtime, so more time to pad the stat line, but 31 points, 16 rebounds.
I forgot he played that well.
Yeah. 14 for 21 from the field. He started slow. I think he had a couple of early turnovers and didn't get off to the fastest of starts. But
now that I'm remembering it, he kind of got on a heater either late in the game or in overtime, and was, I think it was in overtime, and was waving the crush on. I remember that.
Michigan probably should have won that game. Like, Illinois let it slip late, and I'm trying to remember exactly what the circumstances of it were, but Michigan had a shot to win both the end of regulation and the end of the first overtime. And then in the double overtime, Illinois took the lead, but then kind of they missed some free throws and allowed Michigan a chance to send it to another one. But, yeah, you are able to win that. And some big guys did. Now, they weren't just some ordinary big guys, like Trace Jackson Davis, like an All-American type of player. Hunter Dickinson, obviously, an All-Big Ten guy and a guy that's going to be predicted to not only be the Big 12 player of the year going into this year for a lot of people, if not an All-American, maybe first-team All-American himself. Like, he was able to get his against Illinois. Trace Jackson Davis annihilated the Illini, especially in that matchup here in Champaign. So how does that look this year, where Illinois still obviously and won't ever again have Kofi Coburn, Coleman Hawkins guarding Hunter, what that in terms of is Illinois going to double-team the post? Now, Coleman actually, what's crazy about it, did a pretty admirable job of checking Zach Edey there in West Lafayette at the very end of the regular season, but kind of what that looks like for Illinois. And of course, Dickinson's not just a guy that plays on the block 100% of the time. I think they'll run, you know, it's Bill Self's famous high-low offense that he loves to run. I think sometimes you're going to have Dickinson out towards the top of the key, and you're probably going to have K.J. Adams posting a four-man down low because K.J. was playing small ball five. He's like 6'7", built pretty well, athletic. And does that mean, I think particularly for Illinois' starting lineup, that's probably Marcus DeMass' assignment early, like what that ultimately looks like. And, yeah, I mean, like some of the details of it are matchup specific. Like Kansas is going to look different than a lot of other teams that Illinois faces, although we mentioned, I think, earlier in the week, like a four-man like a Dante Scott. There are going to be some others out there that I think the starting lineup that Illinois rolls out there is going to make – DeMass probably guard the four with Goody on the wing at the three. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But, yeah, kind of the more bigger picture point of it is you're facing the number one team in the country, really, really talented. I don't think Kansas is that deep, especially they have, you know, Artario Morris leave the team. They've got an injury. I know that Self mentioned in his press conference earlier this week that one of their projected starters, or at least the guy that was in the mix for them for a starting spot, Johnny Furphy, who is on the, like, he's a 6'7 wing. He's hurt, he's banged up. So he said, you'll probably see either the four that are known, Dwan Harris, Hunter Dickinson, Kevin McCullough, KJ Adams, and then either Nick Timberlake, transfer from Towson, or Marco Jackson, who's a five-star freshman coming in, are going to be for that other spot. But does Illinois' depth show for against a Kansas team that doesn't have quite the ability to go? No, they will in an exhibition game, but normally, you know, 9, potentially 10 deep. I think that's something I'll be looking for. But, and yeah, I think that Dewan Harris against Ty, especially for Ty defensively, I think Dewan probably has to guard Ty at the other end, even though I think as you think about it, Dewan Harris was the defensive player of the year in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Ty's not a huge offensive threat. If Illinois wasn't so big across the board, because they go like Ty Rogers, yep, who's 6'6", and then across the board, they got size everywhere, that maybe Dewan would slot to a different player, but really you're giving up size with him regardless, just knowing how good he is on the ball.
Yeah. That's why I think he probably will be on Ty. I think you'll probably see McCullough on Terrence. I'm interested to see, going back to the Dickinson point, Illinois had a lot of trouble defending big guys last year. I mean, he was one of them. Trace. The other one. You mentioned they had some success against Edey, but I find that a little – I mean, they definitely had a different game plan in that game to try and force him to get rid of the ball. I don't think it was necessarily Coleman.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know,
he battled in there, and I think normally you'd think that he probably just gets physically overwhelmed. He at least battled, but no, right. There's no doubt that Illinois probably does have a post defense question against some of the better big guys out there.
Yeah, and again, I don't necessarily think we're going to see lineups that Brad would maybe play if this game counted, like the same counters and certain lineup adjustments. I don't mm-hmm. think we'll necessarily see those in an exhibition setting, but I am still curious to see, A, do we see that same starting lineup? Is that the starting lineup that is set in stone, or was that something he was trying in the Ottawa game and now against a much more physical, bigger team? Brad doesn't think they can get away with both Damask and Goody in there, and he wants to get more size with Guerrier or even Danger in there. How do they defend Hunter Dickinson? Do they play a lot? Do we see a lot more Dane Danger trying to play him single coverage? Are they going to pull out the post trap in an exhibition setting on Hunter if he scores like 8 early points? Are they going to make that type of adjustment? It'll be interesting to see that. But overall, I think it's just going to be such a great test. I think if there was ever an exhibition game that you can take a lot from and can be pretty telling, this would probably be one of them, because I think both these teams are going to give a ton of effort. I mean, Luke said it early on the show. This team has talked to each other. They want to win this basketball game. Mm-hmm.
I like hearing that. I think, yeah. And you expect that.
Yeah. I think these two coaches are going to coach pretty hard in this game, as hard as you would in an exhibition game.
Of course.
And I think, yeah, we'll learn a lot from this game. And again, if Kansas comes in here and boat races Illinois by 23, you know, it doesn't count. So you can figure it out.
It doesn't count, but I have a feeling a lot of fans will feel some type of way about that.
Yeah, but the point being that you can kind of just enjoy this one, see what you got in this basketball team without putting a loss in the loss column.
For sure. And don't get me wrong. I think that I agree with you. I think the coaches, for the most part, will want to win the game. They'll be hard on their guys, absolutely. Yeah.
I can imagine there might be a couple Brad clips from the sideline from this one.
I could see that. I could see that, absolutely. I referenced back to this before, but the fact of in 2017, I think it was, when Kansas played Mizzou in a charity exhibition game, it was for hurricane relief. You had a 93-87 ball game. You had a lot of, the starters were playing 25-plus minutes, and it was – it played out like a real game for the most part. It wasn't let's play the back end of our bench 15-20 minutes, let's run some stuff just to get a look at something that we may tinker with. It was let's do what we do well, let's play our guys, and let's try to win the game. And I would imagine that being the case. So Illini fans don't want to see Hunter Dickinson, game that doesn't count or not, parading right around the court and see Bill Self in his return. They'd love to beat him, I would imagine. But I think also, and we'll have to see it, we'll have a good gauge of how much it really represents the, a real game environment. I think it will, but kind of the bottom line is, if Illinois plays really well in this game, close game, whether they win or lose, if they do win and they beat the number one team in the country, don't tell me that people out there aren't going to say, maybe it'd be for good reason, that if Illinois can beat Kansas, why can't they beat anybody? Could this team go to the Final Four? Like, that could happen. On the other side, if they get dominated, if they look like they're not ready for this, then it's going to be like, okay, they're at the back end of the top 25. Maybe they're not that. Maybe they still have a ways to go and what have you. So I think that's what's really interesting about it, is just the exterior gauge of how these teams match up against each other. And, of course, for Brad, it's going to be specific evaluations of, like, how does Draven Gibbs Lawhorn look in a game like this? Because you're going to face Marquette in a couple of weeks, who's a really high level team as well. What's Brad's comfort in playing Gibbs Lawhorn at certain points in the game, or how many minutes he can play? We know a guy that's very, very talented, but I think what he shows in this game will probably give us a good idea of how much Brad will trust him in one that counts, like Marquette, or obviously a month or so down the road against Tennessee, against FAU. So that's another interesting dynamic of it.
How much do you think? Do you think there's any chance that having two exhibition games, one against Ottawa where we saw everyone played 12 to 18 minutes, now this being a second exhibition game, pretty much your tune-up for the regular season against the number one team preseason in the country, do you think there's any chance Brad will start to mirror a real rotation in this game? I'm not saying that certain guys aren't going to touch the court. I think, even Nico Moretti, all these guys are going to play at least at some point to get a gauge of where they are and expose them to this competition. could we see a little bit more? Like, let's say we're in a tight game with 8 minutes left. Are the starters going to come back in and finish it out? Are we going to, one guy goes out there and really struggles for his 4 minute stretch. Does he kind of enter the doghouse for the rest of this game? Like, could we see a little bit more of a real glimpse at what the rotation could look like, especially if it's a really competitive game? Could we get a sense of that, do you think?
I think you said it. I'm glad you framed it that way, because I think that's exactly how it would go in my mind, is that through the first maybe 30 minutes of the game, I do think you'll see everybody. You'll see, you know, Nico Moretti in a couple of opportunities and spots, Straven Gibbs-Lawhorn, same thing. Sincere Harris, how does he play versus how does Justin Harmon play, to get a gauge of how those guys are playing against this competition and what different lineup combinations look like. You got to play those guys. And obviously Brad in general thinks this team can use depth to their advantage. Now, he's not going to play 12 guys deep in a meaningful game. I'd be shocked by that, obviously. And traditionally it cuts down to about an eight. I think this team could maybe go nine deep on a, you know, kind of a regular basis in terms of rotation. But Imani Hansberry is going to get a chance. I think this is a perfect chance to play him and feel like, okay, this is a good representation of how ready he is for a big-time matchup. Yeah, he killed people in the back end of the Spain trip, and then obviously on Friday there against Ottawa. But I do think as you get into winning time, as they say, after the under-8 timeout and on down, like, if it is a close game, I think it's a great value to both teams to kind of play this out as a real game, because especially for Illinois, yes, you have some guys back from last year, but there needs to be a feeling of let's go through a real end of game scenario of possessions late. What are we going to run? Who are we going to? If there's a situation where you're up and Kansas is going to foul, what that's going to look like? You need a basket, that whole kind of deal. I think you want to simulate that before you get there. You don't want. That's why this game is very valuable, because what if Marquette's the first opportunity that happens? Then maybe you don't have as good of an idea of what that looks like versus getting a chance to do it now.
Yeah, and in terms of an end-of-game scenario, I am going to be very intrigued to see what five guys are out there in crunch time, because one of my biggest concerns about the Ty Rogers point guard situation is crunch time, close game. Can he be on the court as a 39% free throw shooter? Can you trust a 39% free throw shooter on the court in a close game? I mean, I think you really can't if you're holding on to a lead and you know that they're going to foul. Let's say it's a tie game, with 2.5 minutes left. Can you put a 39% free throw shooter out on the court and put the ball in his hands to create offense for you in crunch time situations, knowing that coaches such as Bill Self, such as these high-level coaches, are going to foul him and make him beat them at the free throw line more often than not, especially if Illinois gains an advantage on a possession or gets out on a fast break? Like, I'm really intrigued to see if Ty Rogers closes a game that's tied with 2 minutes left, or if they don't play a point guard and Terrence Shannon has the ball in his hands. Or
the only problem with that is, what if you have a top-notch on-ball defender and Brandon Newman happens all over again, like Terrence getting his pocket pick, bringing it up. Now, I think that you can kind of use a situation where you can use different guys. Can Marcus DeMas bring it up, depending on his matchup? But, you know, there's teams that with athleticism across the board could really hurt Illinois without a legit floor general type of ball handler. I think maybe that's where would you put Justin Harmon in there?
That's what
we haven't talked a lot about him being a point guard. I don't think he's a natural point guard. He's a guy that's a capable ball handler. He did have a high turnover rate last year, and that's a very interesting dynamic. Would Brad trust Nico Moretti enough, who I think he likes as someone that handles the ball, that he is a point guard, but personally, I don't see Nico closing games. He's not experienced enough. He's still way too slender. I think he's going to be probably a liability defensively until proven otherwise. Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn's got a lot to learn in terms of taking care of the ball and seeing the floor, and that's going to be a real litmus test of how much the point guard situation could potentially hurt you or not. And if it does, that's going to fall back on Brad a decent amount. So I think it's very intriguing. Not saying Illinois can't overcome it, but there are some certain things that they'll have to do to make sure it doesn't rear its ugly head.
If it was up to me, I think I'm letting Terrence Shannon have the ball in his hands late, no matter what. And I know that there's some concerns there with the ball handling at times last year. But, you know, and it also depends, too, if a guy's, you know, if the other team's got a sincere Harris who's going to pressure him 90 feet away from the basket. But in terms of half-court offense late, I want the ball in number zero's hands as much as possible.
I think once you cross the half-court line, I'm not as concerned about it.
Yep.
I think it is someone like Newman, or maybe it's a sincere Harris comp that's pressuring Terrence deep in the backcourt. Maybe it's a situation where, like, Coleman Hawkins playing the five, let Coleman bring it up.
That's a great point.
Against whoever the five's not going to probably most like. If Hunter Dickinson's trying to play defense on Coleman, you know, full court and try to pressure, I don't think that's going to go well for Kansas. And if it is a trapping, if it's a full court trapping defense, then you utilize your passing to break that more so than just one guy who's going to weave all the way through there. So maybe Coleman's the answer to that.
I think that's a great point, because I think there's a good chance that a lot of Illinois' late-game crunch-time offense gets ran through Coleman Hawkins in the high post. I think there's a high probability that happens quite a bit, and I think Coleman's probably the most trusted decision-maker in Brad's mind on this team. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made for that. I mean, maybe Damask is that guy too, but you can't say it's Ty Rogers until you see that play out against high-level competition. Terrence Shannon, I mean, I trust him to get downhill, and I do trust his decision-making, but there was at times last year, I don't necessarily know. It was a question mark for me. I think I know Coleman, occasionally he's going to make that play that has you scratching your head, but I trust the ball in his hands. I trust the ball in his hands in a crucial moment. I trust him to make the right play. I trust him, his vision, his passing, his playmaking. And if he can, especially if he can start to show improvement on the shot selection front, I'm comfortable running some things through him in key moments.
No, and I know we talked during the offseason, and there was obviously validity to it when you look at the fact that Coleman's turnover numbers last year, especially in some certain spots, were made your stomach turn a little bit. I mean, he had games where he had five turnovers and made some questionable decisions. And some of that, like putting the ball in his hands as much as you did last year because you didn't have a trusted point guard make other people around him better, create offensively. I still think Illinois really wants to have the ball in his hands. I think we saw that. And again, it was an exhibition game, but they played a lot through the high post against Ottawa, like in terms of giving him the ball in the high post, if not having him pick and pop, if not, you know, running rubs off of him. I just think that he's going to be a focal point in that type of area. And I think this is a game that will be a good barometer of his jump shot improvement, because he should be able to really hurt Hunter Dickinson, who's going to play drop coverage. And if Coleman's going to play that pick and pop five, like, he should be able to really shoot that shot where Hunter's not going to recover. If he comes out too far, he can go by him. And, yeah, I think that kind of another point about Friday is I do think we will see more of Ty making some plays, you know, whether it be ball screens or maybe a select number of post-ups in the right situation. But I think that was also a kind of light bulb going off for me and for some other people maybe wondering what the offense was going to look like. I think that Marcus Damask, I think that Coleman Hawkins, and to an extent I think Terrence Shannon are going to have ample opportunities to be kind of the initiator and have offense run through them, rather than this being Ty Rogers, you know, looking like Iodesumu in terms of, obviously not the same player, but okay, 90% of our offense is going to start with the ball screen for Ty Rogers. I don't think that's going to be the case. Right. And I think that was kind of an initial key into that. Where on Friday, it's like, okay, this offense is being started by some other people. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Of course, then we'll see how people guard Ty off the ball, but it does open up Ty's rebounding, and it doesn't put as much stress on him to create, even though I think he's capable in spots.
And the last point I'll share with, especially talking about Ty at point guard, is I want to see against a team that we know is, again, it's an exhibition, so Kansas isn't going to run, you know, their primary offense and run a bunch of different things and everything like that. They're not going to show that in an exhibition game. But curious to see how this team stacks up defensively against a team like Kansas. I'm pretty high on the defensive potential of this team. That's the one thing to me with Ty Rogers at point guard that you can be really, really good at is you yes. look at that lineup and you look at 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'11". That's your starting lineup, roughly. Approximate heights, at least listed heights, however accurate those are. But you got a really long lineup. You've got some really good individual defenders with Terrence, Coleman. You got really good team defenders with Luke, with Marcus, with I think Ty's can fall into both those categories. Off the bench, you bring some really capable defenders in Sincere Harris and Harmon. Danger was up and down, but at times he flashed, especially when they're playing the drop last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be a really good defensive team, but you know, giving up 65 to Ottawa doesn't tell me that. This game will tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And yeah, Dewan Harris being able to set the table, he's one of the best passing point guards out there in college basketball. And then of course they got weapons like Hunter Dickinson, Kevin McCullough, and company. If you want to weigh in, you can 217-359-2255 on the U of I Align and Link text line. I know we have a few of you that have shared some thoughts. We'll get to those after the break. Keep those coming in, whether it's talking about the Illinois-Kansas exhibition game coming up on Sunday, what you want to see, what you think about Kansas. We're going to talk more hoops really throughout the rest of this show. We're going to have Big Ten basketball superlatives on the other side. Starting at the 4 hour, we're going to do national basketball superlatives, and then we're going to have Eli Hershkovich from the Lions on to talk about his power rankings to start the season, focusing in on some of Illinois' ranked opponents that he's really dove in on, and then just kind of who he's high on going into this college hoops season to give you an idea of who he thinks is going to make some real noise going into this season. A lot to do. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring surface is your first stop. Flooring surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
Stevie J Broadcasting is proud to be a part of the Disability Resource Expo coming to Marketplace Mall from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 28th. Up to 100 exhibitors will share information and answer questions regarding resources available to enhance the lives of people with disabilities and seek advice in reaching out for answers. The expo is free and open to the public. Visit disabilityresourceexpo.org.
Ready for some much-needed pampering and girl time? Merle Norman is just the place. Join in on the fun and frolicking on Witch's Day Out, Friday, October 27th, starting at 11, at Merle Norman Cosmetic Studio. We're talking door prizes, a spinning wheel with prizes and treats. Gather your friends and jump on your broom for a day of fun. Learn what works for your skin and rock some hot new looks. It's the fun Witch's Day Out at Merle Norman, Friday, October 27th, starting at 11.
During challenging times, family and health come first. This is Eric Boland with Provident Financial Group. Many of us have spent the past year feeling a little bit out of control. There are steps you can take to help plan for a better financial future. Now is the time to take action and create a financial plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Should we leave it in the garage for now?
Go ahead, leave it in the garage for now.
You can leave that stuff there just for now, or schedule 2 Men in a Truck junk removal to come out and remove it for you. 2 Men in a Truck has multiple solutions. If the just for now stuff isn't needed, we can junk it. If it's items you need later, we can store the just for now stuff until later. Has your just for now become more than you anticipated? 2 Men in a Truck has solutions for your residential and commercial junk removal at 2Men Champagne.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
They're playing basketball.
All around the world. To the beach, y'all.
They're playing basketball.
Let's go. All around the world. Y'all know. This is so, so dead.
Back on the drive at Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. And yes, you still have me as a DJ. I apologize.
That should change, hopefully, once we get some new music in this new system.
Either apologies or you're welcome, or somewhere in between, depending on the song choice. So we'll see. This being Lil Bow Wow, Kyle's probably never heard of the movie Like Mike.
I've heard of it, not seen it.
Probably predates him quite a bit. But nice little basketball-themed song, so... Had to go with that. Before we get to our Big Ten basketball superlatives, let's comb over a couple of these texts in the U of I Alana Link text line real quick. At 217, we can run Coleman like the point center, a la Loyola. I know they're talking, obviously, about Cameron Krutwig playing in the high post. And they went in that, it's called zoom action, where you got the big man up, extended towards the three-point arc and the handoff. And that was something that Illinois never had an answer for, being able to guard very effective, especially against big men that struggle to get out to the three-point line and contain that. I think that on the flip side, when Illinois was getting blitzed on that ball screen, if Coleman wasn't a true freshman and had a little bit more seasoning in him, if it was maybe this year's Coleman especially, if not last year's, I would have loved them to see like Coleman be the screener, short roll him, if you know what that means. That means just kind of as a pick and roll, just mm-hmm. stop around, you know, three-point arc, if not a little inside. So when they send two at IO, you dump it to Coleman, all of a sudden you got four on three with that. I know Illinois, in hindsight, would have loved to have been able to do that if Coleman would have been a little bit more seasoned and experienced. But that is just kind of a random thought as you bring up Loyola. Let's see what else we got here real quick. Wade says, gut feeling Illinois will see Hunter, Bill, and Kansas again this season. That would be fun.
It would.
It would probably mean Illinois is going deep.
They were they had a chance to see him last season, although I know Bill didn't coach in the tournament last year, but they had a chance if they had beaten Arkansas. I don't know if they're going to put him on the same section of the bracket 2 years in a row, but if they maybe he means in the national title game.
That'd be fun. That would be a lot of fun. One more, 217, even though this game doesn't count towards our record, if the Illini come out and win this, the mental aspect of it will go through the roof, if that makes sense.
It does.
It does. It, like we said, it would show Illinois that they feel like they could beat anybody. I think the fan base would embrace that, obviously. And for the team that's going to face a gauntlet in the non-conference with Marquette coming to town here in what, less than a month at least, if not, you know, three and a half weeks from now. And then in December, what you're going to face, especially at the forefront of that month, you're going to go to Rutgers, a tough place to play, and then obviously Tennessee and FAU mixed in there as well. So, yeah, I think that this game, from a mentality standpoint, in terms of where this team feels like they're at, if they show well and especially win this game, that definitely could give them some confidence. So I know where you're coming from.
Can I say one thing on the Marquette game that I just found out yesterday that I'm a little bummed about?
What's that?
It's on the same night as the Champions Classic, which
is
has
really?
Michigan State, Duke, Kansas, and Kentucky playing. And it's obviously I'm going to have a blast going to Illinois Marquette.
Yeah.
But like, couldn't they play it the night after so I could watch those two awesome games?
Yeah, and you would hope also that that would give a little bit more of a spotlight to the Illinois Marquette game. If you're scheduling for the Gavitt games, if you're FS1, although maybe they want something that's going to compete with ESPN
sure.
that night, but for the most part, if you're not a fan of those two, if Illinois and Marquette, you're probably going to watch that other yeah. game. But no, yeah.
As a college hoops fanatic, I was just bummed out because now I don't get to watch those awesome two matchups.
No.
If three of the teams are in the top 10 and then Kentucky 16th, would have been pretty fun. But actually, three of the four are in the top four.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah. Maybe Lon will tape it for you. Leave
yeah.
It, leave the VHS in your mailbox.
I can't do the Lon thing. I could never do that thing where I record the game and then go watch it back. I know a lot of people do that. A lot of older people do that.
Yep.
Credit to you. I'm sure you enjoy doing that. I would never be able to with social media and having a cell phone.
Yeah. Kevin says, Lenardi early bracket, Illinois the 5 seed in Kansas's bracket.
Wow.
Let's do it. Sweet 16 matchup. That'd be fun.
Yeah, wouldn't that be crazy if they get back to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 18 years and the opponent is Bill Self in Kansas? Be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun. Be a tough draw, but then, of course, you reach that stage and you expect them all to be tough. But I'm here for it. I'd love to cover it, and let's get to that. But speaking of getting to it, Big Ten basketball superlatives. You know, we need some underlined music. Let's just play it. Everybody, this music will never get old. I'm going to play it again for the national superlatives. Let's just give the people what they want.
Now, if Lon was here, what would he say before this music
And there's
played?
A timeout.
Yeah.
We'll be back for the free throws in Maryland and West Virginia next on CBS.
I feel like that's the one thing we're missing with that music is Lon doing this.
I know.
Doing his routine.
I know. We can't. There's some things
he needs
the Lon
to show
brings.
Up to work if he
yeah.
wants to do it.
Yeah. More digs, Kyle. More digs. You got a lot to make up for.
I'm down about. I'm down about 45 nothing on the Lon to Kyle, ripping each other.
There you
from.
Go. But there's some things that Lon brings to the table that you know we're just not going to be able to replicate. So we appreciate Lon for that for sure. But let's do. I'll let you take the reins, lead us through this Big Ten basketball superlatives, and let's get to it.
Yeah, let's talk a little Big Ten, and then later on probably won't have time to get to it until next hour, but got some national questions too. I need to brush up on some of my national knowledge.
Trust
so
me,
I'll
I'm
be
with you.
I'll be, you know, struggling a little bit at a couple of them, but I do know my Big Ten basketball, so let's start with that.
Yep.
What is the Big Ten team that is being the most overhyped heading into this season?
This is tough. I know you have an answer for this.
I do, yeah.
Pretty clear cut.
And please don't take it.
I like your choice. But I'll admit, as I looked through the Big Ten media poll done by The Athletic, I don't have a ton of disagreements, or really a lot at all. You look at Purdue number one, Michigan State number two, Maryland three, Illinois four, then it goes Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio State, Northwestern, Iowa, Rutgers, Michigan, Nebraska, Penn State, and Minnesota. So, like last year, I thought that Michigan State was too high. And while they went the furthest of any team in the league in the tournament, they finished middle of the pack in the league and didn't have the type of season that I think that, that people were attaching to them as a top 25, if not, you know, a top 20, top 15 team. So I say all that to kind of say I'm fairly good with it in terms of the standings. Mm-hmm. How about you make your case? Because you feel pretty strongly about this one, I believe, and I'll weigh in if I got another one.
I feel pretty strongly that Indiana won't be good this season. And, yeah, I mean, they're picked sixth in the Big Ten, which is a mediocre Big Ten. So it's not like they're getting – I think there's fair criticism to their – skepticism is probably the better term about mm-hmm. their roster. I don't think they're finishing top six. I think that's too high. I wouldn't be surprised if they're 10th, 9th, or 10th in this conference. Ooh. I just don't like their roster construction at all. I think they got a lot of talent. Their front court is loaded, but the pieces in it just don't fit together to me. I just don't see the fit there. Like, you got Khalil Ware, who's going to play the five, but then you're bringing back Malik Renaud, who played a lot of five last year and can't really do much outside the paint. I mean, he's not a guy that can really stretch the floor. And you're going to throw Mbako in there, who you're going to ask him to play the three, which I think he's more of a four-man, and now he has to overcome a Taco Bell arrest from this past weekend to even get on the court, so we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, if they weren't to have him for some period of time after that whole situation, I'd be even lower on them because I think he's their key to being a good team is him being a stud as a freshman. But the front court, it's deep, but I don't think it has the pieces that fit together. I think it's playing a lineup, like even you bring in like Sparks off the bench as your third big man. Well, he's also a big bruiser inside. Like, I don't see the spacing. And then you don't have the guard play to make up for that lack of spacing. And the guard depth is terrible. You have Xavier Johnson, who's coming off a huge injury, and Galloway, who, nice little role player, but that's your starting two that you're probably going to have to play 30 minutes because you don't have anyone else to play. The guard play concerns me a ton. There's no depth there. The big men, I don't think, fit next to each other very well. I think it's one of those classic teams with a ton of talent. Mm. The pieces just don't fit. It might draw some parallels to last year's Illinois team. Like, there might be some locker room issues with that group, like a Khalil Ware who thinks if he's not getting the ball every possession, he's going to be upset about that. Xavier Johnson's going to try to be the man in the backcourt coming off injury. I don't know if that's going to go well. I don't think Indiana's going to be very good.
I like your argument. I do. I am curious what Mackenzie Mbako's Taco Bell order was going to be because he really wanted it. He was not going to leave.
He was not going to be denied of it.
Well, I appreciate maybe the determination, but yeah, that's just kind of a wild story. Last note on this, I'll say that if I'm going to say, I think in terms of the Big Ten pecking order, I don't have much arguments, but like Michigan State being in the AP top five, I think that's a little too rich. And although I know we've had a texter say that, you know, they're probably going to be the most dangerous Big Ten team come the tournament, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but again, I'll remind people they went 11-8 in Big Ten play last year and then also lost Joey Hauser.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That'd be my second choice in terms of, I don't think they're overhyped at number two in the Big Ten behind Purdue. Nationally, I think they're getting a little overvalued.
Yes.
All right, how about the Big Ten team that we aren't talking enough about or that is being undervalued?
If they weren't sitting at five, I would pitch you a case for Wisconsin. Because I think if you're I can't believe I'm doing this because I've been on the anti-Wisconsin boat pretty firmly the last couple of years. Said they're overhyped. Said let's not just automatically slot them in the top five. I was wrong 1 year when Johnny Davis was the player of the year in the Big Ten, and then I was right last year. They didn't even make the tournament. This year, I like the fact that they bring back a lot. I think Asisian's going to be a breakout player in the league. Tyler Wall, I really respect. Chucky Hepburn is what he is. I mean, he's a decent veteran starting point guard. AJ Storr. In terms of the Big Ten, Iowa I could see being a little low at nine. I've said this before, but I see Iowa still being a good offensive team. Todian Perkins is going to have to carry a big load on his shoulders, a guy that scored like 16 a game February 1st and on last year. Is that who he is in this league? I think that's a question that still remains going forward, but Patrick McCaffrey comes back. Sanford's a good shooter. You get Krike from Valpo coming in that scores some points pretty well at his previous stop. I don't know how deep they are, and they probably don't defend knowing it's Iowa, but they'll shoot threes. Carver Hawk has a good environment. I'll just say they probably are more of an NCAA tournament threat, middle of the pack type of team than maybe they're getting credit for.
Yeah, I don't mind that Iowa pick. I'll go with Ohio State. I think they can be very good. They're picked seventh, which is, you know, on the edge of the bubble in the national tournament picture, probably in a team that, I guess, in that context, isn't really a threat to be like a top four finisher in the Big Ten. I think they are a threat to be a top four finisher in the Big Ten. Beyond Purdue and Michigan State, there's a couple spots there if we're talking strictly top four, that double by Big Ten tournament threshold. I think Ohio State could sneak in there because last year they really came on at the end of the season. Obviously, they pounded Illinois in a really frustrating game back in late February. Then they made a run in the Big Ten tournament, nearly even beat Purdue.
Yep.
And won like three games in the Big Ten tournament. And now I think Bruce Thornton is going to be one of the breakout stars in the league. They add Jamison Battle. They have a really good freshman class. Added one other transfer that I can't remember. And not a huge name, but a role piece that I think will fit in.
Chris Holtman could really use it, too.
Yeah, he could. You get Zed
maybe a make-or-break year for him.
Zed Key's healthy now after he missed like all of last year. And I think it could be a team that among this second tier, if you want to call it that, in the Big Ten, they have as good of a shot as almost anybody. I'll get in another category. I'll talk about another team I like a lot. But Ohio State, I think they could be a really good team. I think they could take a huge jump. They missed the tournament last year, which is the only thing, and I get it if someone's like, well, how could a team that lost Sensabaugh to the draft and didn't make the tournament, how could they be higher than seventh? I don't know. I think that they had a really young team last year. All those guys will take a leap. Battle could be a nice piece. I think they could be pretty good.
I like that. They disappointed me last year. I was higher on them than other people going into last season, and obviously they had a way too long of losing streak, but one other side note, we're going to catch a break. Let's continue this on the other side of this hour, but I wouldn't be surprised, and people are going to probably dislike me for this, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan's better than people think.
I agree.
I at least like their starting five. I like Doug McDaniel a lot. You bring in Olivier Nkamwa from Tennessee. He's a pretty darn good player. Namari Burnett, we'll see. Is he going to live up to his five-star status ever? I'm not sure about that. Just okay on Alabama last year. Didn't play a ton in terms of being a focal point for them. And I think Tarris Reed down low, I mean, he was a top 50 prospect. I think he profiles an athletic, strong big man that's going to get some things done for them. I really question their depth. And obviously, they could have used Caleb Love. They could have used some other guys in the portal, maybe a bigger showing on that front. But I think Michigan could potentially be a decent amount higher than 11th as they're projected.
I'm with you on that. I think they could be solid. I don't necessarily see them.
They're not a top five team in the league.
No, and I think their ceiling is like a top end bubble team to me. So that's why I guess they would fit this, because I think a lot of people are pretty low on them. But they need like a star player, like go to scorer is what they needed. And as much as I dislike Caleb Love and don't think he's all that great, like, that would have been kind of the perfect piece for them. So,
true. It would be interesting, though. They go from having, what, two first-round picks in Hunter Dickinson. They lose all three, and then, like, last year's team misses the tournament, and this year's team makes it. That would be wild. All right, if you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line Link text line. We're due for a break. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Should we leave it in the garage for now?
Go ahead, leave it in the garage for now.
You can leave that stuff there just for now, or schedule 2 Minute a Truck junk removal to come out and remove it for you. 2 Minute a Truck has multiple solutions. If the just for now stuff isn't needed, we can junk it. If it's items you need later, we can store the just for now stuff until later. Has your just for now become more than you anticipated? 2 Minute a Truck has solutions for your residential and commercial junk removal at 2Min Champagne.